It's sad when you can't depend on yourself. Amen. It's sad when you can't live alone. It's sad when you can't make it on your own. Amen. And when you do, when you try to do it, you engage in independent living. Amen. When you do try it, you engage in independent living. Webster defines independence, amen, as to be free from outside control. Amen. Amen. To be free from outside control. I think these brothers took our sermon from the 8 o'clock service. I don't know. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Amen. It's not depending on the authority of another. Amen. That's what it means is that you are free from outside control. And the aim of our sermon is for us to see the importance of submission. Amen. For us to see the importance of submission. Submission is a good word. Submission is a great word. Submission is an important word. Can everybody say submission?
Submission.
Amen. Amen. Submission is a good word, and it is designed for the purpose of function in society. Amen. Things don't go right when there is no submission. Amen. Things get out of whack. Amen. Things get out of order when there is no submission. Submission is an important word. And this morning we know that when you talk about independent living, although it is something that is not good, and although many still do it, oftentimes we find that children do it. Amen. They want to live independent of their parents' advice. Amen. They want to live, they said, this is my life. I want to live it the way that I want to live it. Amen. Children basically say to everyone else that you're basically old-fashioned. And you need to update, you need to modernize your thinking to today's generation. Amen. That they feel that we are old-fashioned. So children want and seek to live independently. They seek to live independent lives. Amen. Some couples do it. Some say that I basically don't need no man. I don't need no body. I'm independent. Amen. I choose to live separate from others. Amen. I don't have to have one. I got my own car keys, my own house keys, and the key to my own office. And I make more money than he do. I can take, he needs me better, more than I. So, why then? Why? will I put a crutch in my life when I can really make it all by myself? Independent living is a terrible, mean monstrosity. It is not good. Independent living is not what's best for us. We must recognize the need. And then there are citizens, creatures who God made, who seek to live an independent life. He said, I'm a self-made man. I'm self-sufficient. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I don't need God. I don't need religion. I don't need the church. I don't need none of those crutches you all have. Amen. I can make it by myself. Amen. And such is the case as we look at this. Amen. Many feel that I can take care of myself. Amen. I don't really need nobody. I don't have to depend on nobody. Amen. I'm independent, and I've chosen to live independently. But as we look at our text, we find that it was a new day. Amen. We find that it was a new day. It was a new diet. There were new laws concerning death. It was a new dispensation. It was a new declaration. It was a new design in the clouds. Man had gotten off of the boat. No longer was it Adam, but it was Noah. God had concluded that Adam's generation basically dropped the ball. God told them what he wanted, and basically every thought and imagination of man's heart was only evil continually, and God said, I'm going to wipe it out. Drown them all, everybody, animals, everything got to go. It was a new day. No longer was Adam the head of the creation, but now Noah, his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, are the ones who now is going to be the federal head. He blessed them, and the Bible says in this chapter, verse 1, and then we find out that God says that Ham did not do what Shem and Japheth did in verse 23. When Noah was lying there uncovered in his tent, Ham saw it, and he didn't do what the others did. They went and got a sheet and covered up their daddy. They walked backwards out of respect, and they covered him up. But that's not what Ham did. Ham didn't do that. Ham went and told the brothers, according to verse 22, and Ham looked on his father's nakedness. He disrespected his father by gazing at him being uncovered. Oh, God does not want us to disrespect our fathers. It is not in the will of God for us to disrespect our fathers. And that is really where the problem is that there is such disrespect for the fathers. He disrespected his dad. He gazed on his dad, really, as you look at the word. But what we find out is that Noah began to gaze on his father, and we find out that Noah made a declaration. Noah, amen, Ham disrespected his daddy, but then Noah made a declaration, and that's the declaration. He woke from his wine, and he saw what his younger son, had done in verse 24. And when he woke up from his wine, he said, cursed be Canaan. Amen. Amen. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Amen. He woke up and he saw what his younger brother had did. Now, he said, cursed be Canaan. Amen. What is a curse? Amen. You think about curses. Amen. People have the power to curse you. Some who have that power, amen, there is a limited amount of wickedness in the world, and there are witches and those who palm readers, they do have a degree of power. They don't have all power. Amen. They can't curse a Christian, but they have that ability to invoke a cursing or pull down a cursing upon an individual, and it will cause him mischief, and he'll never make it. He'll always be struggling. He'll always be trying. He'll always have it difficult because there's a curse on them. Amen. Their life is cursed. Amen. Amen. And he cursed Canaan. Canaan got cursed. He was cursed. And what we find basically is that he was cursed, and he was cursed because of what he did. He gazed upon his father. Now, when we talk about this curse, we got to understand two things at least. And one is about the birth of Cain, and other is about the behavior of Cain. Amen. Noah's declaration, just by saying curse be Canaan, tells me that they didn't just get off the boat because he had to have time for his grandson to get here. Is that all right? They didn't just get off the boat. Because if he said, curse be Canaan, calling his name alone meant that he was in existence, unless you believe this was a prophecy. And he said, cursed be Canaan. So this implies, suggests to us, indicates that Canaan was born. So they had been off the boat long enough for Canaan to be born. It says something about the birth of Canaan, because he didn't say, curse be Ham. Ham is the one who committed the crime. But he said, curse be Canaan. Why would Ham look at it and he cursed Canaan? It says something about Canaan's birth, and it says something about Canaan's behavior. Canaan's behavior was known by his granddad as being mischievous. Amen. He gazed on his nakedness. Why would you gaze on another man's nakedness while he's uncovered in the tent? Canaan was the kind of a kid that his granddad knew that if he woke up, he knew that this was the pattern that had been set by Canaan. Canaan had a reputation with his grandfather of being mischievous. And he looked on him and he knew who was behind, who was the instigator of all of this. Amen. How many of y'all know you know your kids? Amen. You know your kids. And it may even suggest that he, in a unique way, got his father drunk to view his nakedness. Amen. Amen. And the Bible, maybe as you observe Habakkuk chapter 2, amen, verse 15, tells us that it says, woe unto him, amen, woe unto him who gives somebody something to drink, amen, so that they can uncover their nakedness. You know anybody like that? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Woe unto him who giveth unto his neighbor some liquor, and they are doing it, they are pressing their bottle upon him to make him drunk. And why are they trying to make him drunk in Habakkuk 2:15? So that they may gaze upon their nakedness. And that is the way to do it, is to get them drunk. This young man, this young boy, this grand boy here had a reputation of being mischievous. No doubt Ham didn't do his job with this boy or keep him in check. He got away with a lot. Amen. But that lets me know that it is important for the men to be in their places. Amen. This grandson, amen, he knew that this boy was always up to no good. Amen. Ham led the way. Ham, amen, how many of y'all know the apple don't fall too far from the tree? Ham was gazing himself. But this boy, amen, it makes up a question of whether or not should someone, one generation, suffer the sins of another generation? Is God visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate him? Do those who sin against God suffer from one generation to the next because of their daddy's sin? I guess is what I'm saying. But we know that that is not true according to Deuteronomy chapter 24, 16, because according to Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, it says that the father shall not die for the children's sin, and the child shall not die for the father's sin, but every man shall die for his own sin. Amen. Amen. God, that's what the Bible says. God does not judge you, but if you follow the practices of your daddy, who is ungodly, if you adopt ungodly practices, then you will receive the judgment of ungodliness. It is not that God is judging you for what they daddies did. It's just that you kept on doing what your daddy did. Amen. And there are persons who train their children up by example to be a certain way. They act a certain way. They do a certain thing. They allow certain things in their homes, and their children watch them. And next thing you know, later on in life, they doing the same things. They got generational, some call it generational curses, where people allow things to go on in their family. And as they raise that child adopt the behavior of that family. And next thing you know, they're having the same problem. I wish I had a witness. All those family members are all alcoholics. Some may say, or they all that run in their family. Because they all taught their kid by example to do the same thing that their father did. Oh, the fact of the matter is that we want to get into that, but we may not do it here, but we want to get into that. He says, woe unto them who make somebody drunk. We find out simply that Noah had a declaration, and what was he declaring? Noah declared a curse on Canaan. And we find out that later on in life, we find out that Canaan didn't make it. Because, see, curses make it hard for you. Amen. Curses make it difficult for you. Amen. We know about a curse that we remember what happened in the Garden of Eden. Amen. That was the earth was put under a curse. And the earth was put under a curse as it relates to food and folk. We find out that God told Noah, cursed is the ground for your sake. Amen. Your ground is now cursed. There was a time when the ground was blessed. I told y'all to be fruitful and multiply, and the grass, the fruit would just come right up on out the ground, and there would be no weeds. There would be no thorns. There would be no Johnson grass and all this hard stuff that you got to go out there. God said, I'm going to bless the ground, and the fruit is just going to come on up out of it. All you got to do is basically tickle it, and it'll just come right on up out of it. But now you got to dig. Now you got to hoe. Now you got to chop. Now you got to pull. Now you got to spray. Now you got to do all of these things just to get some tomatoes out of the ground. Because the ground is under a curse. Curse means it's going to be hard now. He said, Adam, now the ground is not going to bring forth the fruit like it. It's going to be hard for you to make a living. You're going to eat your bread by the sweat of your brow. Why? Simply because the ground has been cursed. But that's what curses do. Curses make things hard. Curses make things difficult. The things that would normally happen won't happen. Simply because now it's cursed. And we're living on a cursed creation. And folk and food are difficult to get simply because the world is under a curse. It's under the judgment of Almighty God. Amen. In fact, the fact of the matter is, amen, God wants us to understand that when we think about independent living, it's a lifestyle that is hard. Amen. But if the men got in their places, amen, life wouldn't be so hard. A lot of homes are suffering. You know what they're suffering from? Missing males. The father. I'm talking particularly about the father. The father is missing. And the wife is unsupported. She has to do now what should do. And you often see her, but you don't really see him that much. And then the kids have lost their mind and going here and there, doing any and everything And the mother can't do nothing about it because he's bigger than you now. And he'll lock you in your room. Amen. And you can't get out. Amen. The homes are in disarray because males are left without guidance. Amen. And children are left without guidance. And they're finding their daddies in gangs and finding their daddies somewhere else. Amen. Amen. God knows the importance of having the men in place. And when the men get in place, the churches are getting in order. Amen. When the men get in place, we know that the churches will get in order. The homes will get in order. Amen. The home would be better. The society would be better. Somebody has to teach the next generation. Amen. God is calling on us to teach the next generation. Amen. But you know, the fact of the matter is that God is recognizing that the world needs the Father simply because of the fact that God has decided that the world is in the condition that it's in. Usually when it happened, there's a man missing. Oh, I hate to slow this down. I should have slowed it down and sped it up, but I may have to speed up and slow it down. Amen. These women got to go do prison ministry. That's why they left out. My wife is. And so we have to understand that God, what is the reason? What is the problem? We find out that it has been determined by God that children obey their parents. I wonder why God did that. Why was it determined by God that children obey their parents? The fact of the matter is, the fact of the matter is that God wants the children to listen to their fathers. But they can't listen to someone who's not present. Amen. And it may be like Noah, that the example, a bad example may have been set. He wants the man to get in his place. He wants the man to lead the way. He wants the man to be the example that God is looking for him to be. Because if he doesn't, we're going to lose our homes. We're going to lose our churches. Are going to be torn apart. We're going to lose our communities simply because the men. But if there ever is a revival among the men, things are going to come together. I said, if there's ever a revival among the men, if the men got in their places, a whole lot of other. Have you ever had a situation where you said, if you fix one thing, a whole lot of other stuff would fall in place? So oftentimes what we're doing is we're going around trying to fix stuff. But I'm here to tell you that if you fix the mail department, you done fixed all these problems. Because all this foolishness that's in charge, all this immaturity, all these children that are immature, making decisions, telling their daddies what to do, and they running the home, all that stuff would be squashed. Oh, you may not like it, but I'm not going to take it back. Before I take it back, I'll add more to it. This thing is in a mess. Dad would put his foot on it. The daughters wouldn't be left to be predators, be for other men to come into. You got men going into homes where the daddy is just absent. You got the mother there with these growing up young daughters and no male around. Here you come. Where is your daddy? Don't you know you got to be over there protecting your daughters? Oh, Lord have mercy. But when there's independent living, that means that I'm going to live my life apart from my daddy, even if he's here, and I don't want to obey my daddy. I'm going to go off. I'll finish this, Lord willing. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Heads are bowed, hands are joined. We thank you now. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. We know that Cain's destiny is not going to be good simply because his daddy and his granddaddy's relationship were off. And because of that, we have what we have in the world and in the church. Help us, O God, speak to us, speak to our hearts, that we may be able now to be all that you want us to be. Oh, we pray that the men will come back to the church and that they'll get in their places, in their home. They'll come back. And when they come back, things won't be out of whack. There's somebody that don't know you today. Help them to know that you are the Heavenly Father. You are the creator of all mankind. And they need to say yes to you this morning. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. This is our prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus. And all the saints said amen. Amen. And amen again. Give the Lord a hand of praise. The door is open.